Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done for us. We just open our heart to you, Lord, and that you may guide us, that you may help us, that you may, Lord, give us wisdom, understanding, Lord, and the ability, Lord, to hear you clearly, so, Lord, that we can follow your direction, obey your word. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for we know that this is possible for us to do and that we, Lord, can receive from you, Lord, everything that we need. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've been talking about the new covenant, really, that is the most important thing that ever happened for us. Established a complete different way to connect with God. And we have to understand there are two sides of the covenant. It's always a relationship taking place. One part is with God and what he has done. And, you know, there are a number of things that we are not going to go through all that, but essentially what Jesus did on the cross in establishing the new covenant, in starting it, doing what was required to him. But that wasn't the whole thing. You know, God still worked other things in producing the resurrection of Jesus to demonstrate, validate, and enforce what was taking place, to be the first manifestation of the result that we need. But after that, there is our part that comes into the picture. There's our part that we have to participate in the process. Okay? And to do that, we have to understand God's plan for us, God's plan of salvation, the way he is going to work with us. And we had to work with him. There is that's where the relationship and the communication takes place. Without that communication, we're back in the Old Testament. Instead, you know, now the Holy Spirit is with us, and he is the one that makes all the difference. The role that he has in ministering to us. The role that he has in getting in communion with us, the fellowship that we can have with him, the fact that he is there given to us, dwelling in us, and participating, helping us to participate in the process that God has established. Hallelujah. See, we cannot do what is required in our strength and in our flesh. The only way we can do it is through him, our helper, the one that guides us, the one that teaches us, the one that empowers us. Essentially, that's most of the job. We have to only listen and participate, allow him to accomplish the things he wants to do, by willing to connect with him and to obey him. Our obedience is critical. That's what it does it. Without our obedience, that's the only part that we had to do. You know, it starts with being obedient about listening, but the thing is, you know, listening is not that difficult. It's actually doing the things that we are called to do sometimes that we resist, okay? And we saw, okay, that the result we get are depending on the way we respond to what he communicates and directs us to do, okay? When you have negative responses to what is done because, we are resisting it in one way or another, okay, is the flesh that doesn't like to do spiritual things. And so, you know, there starts to be a conflict in what should be actually a good interaction, a positive interaction. Okay. And we saw that there are degrees of that. Okay, when we just ignore them and we just are busy because of other things that our flesh is more concerned or interested, then we are grieving him. But doesn't stop there. See, the Holy Spirit has a job to do and wants to make sure that that job gets done. And so he keeps putting more pressure on us. And when he put the pressure on us, he expects us to do something. When we refuse to act, what we do, you know, he cannot do the part that he wants to do. And so he quench what he wants to do. And the job doesn't get done. Okay. And then the Holy Spirit increases the pressure. He wants to really do something. And so what happens, you know, he put more pressure on us. And that's the time when if we are not willing to listen, we end up rebelling. That means consciously we make a decision not to do, to do something we want to do rather than he wants us to do. Okay? When we do that, actually what happens is something very negative takes place in us. Our heart gets hardened because we take a stronger position, stronger than the pressure he put on us. Okay? So this is what happens and continues to happen, and you know, he just doesn't change. He is there putting pressure, but you know, the interaction, the communication, the things becomes less and less because we don't want to listen, because we don't want to comply with it. Okay? And so, you know, when we end up, you know, when we end up practicing all these works of the flesh, because that's what's taking place, okay, you know, and we do not repent, we do not change, okay, the reason for that is because we have been, our heart has been programmed the wrong way. We have wrong ideas. We, you know, interpret things the wrong way and we get stuck. Okay, our relationship with God is affected. It gets worse and worse. We're backsliding. Okay, and that, the worse, the longer it takes, the longer we keep that position, the harder it comes to fix our problem. Because we are hardened, because we are taking that position that resist him. Okay. The best things that happen when we realize that something like that is happening is to quickly repent, okay? But often, when that has happened for a while, it's difficult to do. And so, you know, we have to understand that we better learn to see what's going on inside ourselves so that we can take action as soon as possible. See, when instead there is a positive response, that means, you know, we are yielding to the things that the Holy Spirit communicates and wants us to do and directs us to do and teaches us, okay? And the reason is because our heart is listening. It's open, okay? That we control the flesh, our flesh, and our fleshy desire, and align ourselves with his desire, with his will. Okay? And that's what happens when we are walking in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, God walks with us, we get closer to him. Okay? And all the blessings that God wants to give to us are starting to manifest, they're starting to take place. Is because we are obedient. Okay, Jesus said, you know, if you love me, obey my commandments. Without obeying his commandment and doing our things, which is the thing that people like to do today, we don't get spiritually anywhere. So we have to understand that. And we have to understand, okay, how do we do that? How we are going to be able to make the right decisions to listen to the Holy Spirit, okay? Because it's everything has to do with the decision we make about doing something, about doing what it tells us to do, okay? In Romans chapter 8 gives us, you know, the understanding of what that involves, okay? And understanding the way we can respond properly to that, okay? Has to do all with our soul, with our mind, with our attitude, with the way we position ourselves. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, for those who live, you know, that live means that's what we do on a regular basis, according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. And those who live according to the Spirit, to the things of the Spirit. You see, setting our mind is a decision that we had to make to start with. That's the starting point of the process of being able to do anything else. As we set our mind, then all the things that comes with it are the consequences of our position, okay? It's a way that you, what you choose determines really what you are going to do. And what you choose is dependent on what? On your expectation of the result you are going to get. Or the benefits or not that you are going to get. So when you choose not to follow the Holy Spirit, is because your idea is, this, I know better what to do than God telling you to do. Okay, so the problem is with our way of thinking, the position we take. And we had to deal with that to make any change to the situation, otherwise it's not going to happen, okay? This is the way we are made. We are made like programmed to produce certain results, or at least to think that when we do certain things, we get a certain result. So if we think that when we do what God wants us to do, we get the blessings, then we are going to do the things that God tells us to do. But if we think that we can do other things and we enjoy more and get more blessed, we are going to do the other things. As a consequence of that, we, you know, our position, our thinking, you know, cut us off from the ability to do what the Holy Spirit wants. And it's due to one simple thing, our expectation of the result we are going to do. Like, for example, you know, if you believe that praying produces result, you are going to be praying. But if you don't believe that praying produces result, you are going to do something else, something that you think is going to be more effective. You can't make any of the other, apply that to many of the other things, other decisions that you had to do. What you believe makes the difference. Okay? And what is that determined by? What is going to determine what you believe? Is really, you know, the things you have experienced, the things you have gone through, the things that you have been exposed to and end up believing. And what you believe determines, you know, what you are starting to be convinced of. The thing is, often we fool ourselves. We think we believe something, but actually, you know, you see, oh, I believe on a certain thing, but you don't do them. That means, you know, really don't believe them. Okay? So the idea is that often we know what we should believe or according, you know, what others expect us to believe, and we try to do it, but we really don't believe it anyway. And so as a result of that, we are not You know, if we don't follow the Holy Spirit, it's because we don't believe really deeply inside ourselves that that's the best thing for us to do. Now, for a believer, that's a pretty strange position to be in. But if you see the result that, you know, you see the statistics, you see what happens is actually in real life, you're going to say, how is that ever possible if somebody is a believer and does certain things? Okay? And the fact is that they're really fooling themselves. You see, you practice, you know, any work of the flesh that you think is better than to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. That's the thing that takes place. The fact that you say, see, the implication of that you are believing something that is a lie. Because the Holy Spirit is going to tell you only to do things that are good, that are going to be blessing you. Okay? But it depends on the way you look at things. Okay? And God said it very clearly, you know, in the following verse 6, or Romans 8 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, the result there, it should be evident right away, but you don't even get to the point to experience life and peace. Because you made already the decision not to follow that. Because you believe that it's maybe much more fun to do something else. Okay? And that, okay, is going to start to be a conflict between what the Holy Spirit says and what you really believe. And becomes difficult. And the reason is that the problem is already in there. It's already in the heart. You have been programmed that way by what you went through before. Doesn't matter the things you have been exposed that will tell you otherwise. Okay. Verse 7 says, because to be carnally minded is enmity against God. You see, there is a problem there. There is enmity already. And so, you know, unless you deal with that wrong thought, wrong programming, wrong ideas, nothing is going to happen. You are going to continue to do the same thing. It's not just say a little prayer and it's going to, by magic, poof, everything get dissolved. Doesn't work. You have to get to the place in which you actually believe what you are doing and you take a position because you trust God and trust more than the way you trust yourself and the beliefs that you have. Praise the Lord. See, carnally mind is enmity against God. And so verse 8 says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's as simple as that, or complicated as that, if you want to change that, if you just hope to change that, it's not going to work. There is to be What am I saying here? There has to be a reprogramming of your thinking, of your attitude, of your position. There is a question of, and that doesn't happen just because you make a decision. The decision that you make then stick is the one you actually believe in. Praise the Lord. Okay? And so, you know, where that conclusion comes, we have to understand some of the things that are operating in us, the way they have been put there, the way they have been generated. Okay, this is the result of programming that took place before. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Okay, the one that had been, you know, why? Was minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. You see, that this is a work, it's a demonic activity that takes place at the level of our mind to convince us for the wrong thing. And the way it happens, we have to understand that it doesn't happen necessarily because, you know, you just want to do something. There is, it says here, you know, they have been veiled, you know, because the mind, you know, they are being blinded. They are going to show a different story, a different interpretation, or the different projection of things are going to happen. And you are going to believe that. Okay? And the only way to overcome that, how you do that? Well, you happen, and happen by exposure. This is a topic that is not really very much extended. You know, somebody I knew, a good friend of mine passed away, was, you know, Dr. Alexander Nesks. He was the one who started our ministerial association. He wrote a book that is called, you know, what is called there? You know, Transference of Spirit. And explain how that process takes place and how the Bible actually reflects that. How it's really represented in the Bible in many places. See, you don't need to agree with something. The only thing you need to do is to be exposed to that long enough that it's going to start affecting you. It starts by when you see it and you recognize that something is wrong with it, you don't like it, and you feel to be distant, you don't want to be even exposed. But you know, when it's all in the environment and everybody believes that, and everybody does that, you're just there, uncomfortable, but you stay there. And as a result of that, after a while, you get used to it. It doesn't bother you anymore. And slowly becomes more and more adjusted to it. Not just in the environment, but after you start even going along with it, and finally, you end up doing it yourself. You go with somebody that swears all the time. At the beginning, you're going to be really ticked off. But if there is nothing you can do and he is there with him all the time, or, you know, sooner or later, you don't even know it, you're going to say the same thing. Because you have been desensitized. You have been blinded. We have been reprogrammed. I think it was Wesley that said, you know, the things that they are just, you know, ignored to start with, you know, in a generation, they are going to be accepted the following generation, and after that, they are going to be embraced. Look at, you know, sexual immorality today, and you can see the exact of the representation of that now is, if you even say something against it, you got the problem. Why? Because it's the environment that influences people to think in a certain way, and then they are so used that it doesn't make any difference anymore. You're just being sucked in. See, that is the exposure by osmosis. We assimilate and absorb wrong ideas, wrong beliefs, and are caught up into this deception. You see, the idea is the enemy is deceiving us concerning certain lies that we end up accepting, and then it's difficult to shake them. Are you following me? Okay, then, you know, you just say, I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, You can't, because you are programmed. And just the fact that you want, you go against the current. And going against the current is difficult. You have to learn to work at a different level. You have to understand how to reprogram yourself and how to work on that if you want to succeed. If you are backslidden, you are not going to be just turned around just because one day you go in somebody and, you know, the Holy Spirit hits your heart and try to convince you and you think you're going to be changed. It's not going to happen because you go out after and you do the same thing you were doing before. Because you are used to, you don't think about it, it doesn't even bother you doing it. Are you following me? This is something that we have to understand. You know, repentance doesn't, the level of repentance that produces change is not a question of, one day I make a decision and I'm going to be all different. No, you have to be deprogrammed yourself to be able to succeed. There are many applications of this, and I'm not going to go into that, okay? We had to really start a process in which we understand how those things take place in our mind and our soul so that we can change the way the ideas, the expectations, the things that are associated with it so that we can align ourselves with God's way of thinking. And that's work. If you think to overcome, you know, a position of unbelief and sin just by simply one day making a decision, you are going to see that it doesn't work. Look at today's statistics of believers. Not unbelievers. They say 20, 30 years, I'm going 50 years ago, certain things weren't even considered. Today, they're not just considered, but they're accepted, and they're, you know, people involved in the ministry, people involved in the church are normally doing it. Why? Because there's been a work on the background to just infiltrate the way people think, and the enemy knows exactly very well what to do, and if you let him do it, he is going to overcome and program you to do what he wants. If we like it or not today, you had to prepare yourself and know what is involved. Okay. So you had to, you know, to start with, one of the things you had to understand is that you had to start not believing in what everybody believes, but you had to believe what the Word says. Okay. You have to especially believe what God is like. If you don't understand God, you cannot connect with Him. The best way to really be transformed is to actually know God's personality, God's characteristics, God, the way He works, the way He does, and start to be acquainted with it, because that's going to produce more effect than all the other do's and don'ts that you had to do. See, it doesn't work by the law. The law is superficial. The things that you should do and not do are the result of what you believe. So if you try to follow the law, you're going to end up like the Old Testament. They weren't able to get anywhere. You still has to be, your heart has to be aligned at the heart level, not and on your almost subconscious level to be able to do it. You have to embrace God's ways. And so if you want to overcome in areas of your life that, you know, you are weak, You have to start doing a spiritual work on your mind so that you change the way you see those things and you start applying to yourself the proper thoughts, ideas, expectations to what God is like and what God does, so that you are aligned, are in agreement. There is no enmity at the deepest level within your heart between you and God. Praise the Lord. You see, this is really, you know, the transference of spirit, the influences of our environment is critical. The influence, and we are going to see more in detail this. Okay. Two, we must reprogram our heart for repentance if we want to repent properly. Because it's not just a superficial decision, repentance. It's a very deep decision that depends on the belief system that you have concerning practical things that you have accepted. And if you don't do it, you're going to fall back. And this is why people just go on and off and never get anywhere. Okay? You have to start, you know, realizing how good God is, for example. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, "How do you despise the riches and goodness and forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Okay, walking in the flesh, okay, is a decision you make because of ignorance, because of blindness, not knowing God's goodness, okay, and having wrong ideas about God's goodness. And those ideas had to be changed. Praise the Lord. So that hardening, you know, the hardness of the heart has to be melt away. This is what the new covenant should produce. In the following verse says, "But in accordance to your hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation in the righteous judgment of God." So the idea is this, that, you know, you have to realize that you are not going to see all the result, all the negative results right away. The real bad response are the ones that are going to come after, when Jesus comes back the second time. This is a period of grace, and you have an opportunity to do something if you work toward that. Praise the Lord. So, you know, there's the hardness of our heart that has to be dealt with. That's what makes all the difference. Okay. And says, you know, and God says very clearly, "I will render to each one according to his deeds." See, what we do makes a difference. What we do is important. The decisions we make are important. Praise God. Okay. Our judgment should be the same judgment of God's judgment. Right judgments when we think according to things the same way as he does, and then there is no problem. Okay. So, you know, in continuing here on Romans chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Eternal life, so I will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who patiently, with patient continuance in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality." See, patient continuance of doing good, you know, produces what? Okay, is coming from seeking eternal life and immortality. You see, our goal shouldn't be you know, materialistic, shouldn't be worldly, should be spiritual. That's where it starts. We have to start be able to see that. But when the following verses, but those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. You have to understand that this is going to be, you know, the result of this thing. So how are we going to do? How are we going to reprogram ourselves? How are we going to change our heart? Well, you know, it's a question of realizing what's going on that put us in the wrong direction. Okay? We have to first change our environment, our exposure, our company. If we spend time with people that are messed up in their thinking, we are going to be messed up on our thinking, period. And they are going to influence us. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, this is plenty all over the Bible. It says, do not be deceived. You see, the problem is our deception, because we see something and we end up accepting it later on. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Okay, that is really, you know, the transference of spirit that I was talking about. You know, we're going to see different areas in which we had to apply. So we start with changing our exposure, our environment, and our company. Okay, Proverbs 22, verse 5 says, thorn and snare are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. You cannot mix with people that are messed up and thinking that you are going to be clean after a while. Me continue, same chapter, Proverbs 22, verse 24. Says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his way and set a snare for your soul. You see, the transference there of just emotional impact it has on you is going to change the way you do things. Say, well, you know, I'm in the world. What can I do? Everybody's like that in the world. Yeah. So you better watch it. You better are careful. You better separate yourself. You know, one thing is to be exposed, but we have to realize what's going on, and you have to take a clear position, and you don't have to become connected. The Bible says, you know, not to be unequally yoked, which is different from, you know, the fact that somebody, you meet a person, you know, according to that principle, if you don't connect anybody, you cannot bring anybody salvation. You know, yeah, you can do it, but you be careful and you don't spend too much time and you protect yourself, because otherwise they are going to influence you more than you influence them. Okay. Okay, Psalm 103, verse 3 says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the works of those who fall away. It also not cling to me. It shall also not cling to me. You see, you make the choice. You separate yourself from the exposure of these things. You know, now it's very difficult to do. Turn on your TV, to go to the movies, go to get entertainment. You see, entertainment is really the problem. The enemy knows people want to be entertained, and that's where they are exposed to the junk, and they're going to accept it after a while. So you have to make decision, proactive decision, before to be able to shake those things off. If you don't, they are going to affect you. There is no way. Separate yourself. You see, holiness is separation from these things. It's not being religious. Praise the Lord. So, you look at the statistics today of believers. They are no different whatsoever from the statistics of the world. Why? Because they are exposed. And if you go back, say, 20 or 30 years, the situation was very different. There was a difference. Now, the enemy knows how to spread his lies and his deception so that everybody is used to it. Praise the Lord. Watch not unclean things. They will affect your spirit. Okay. Psalm 101, verse 4. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know weaknesses. Say, so this established, you have to, you know, for that to happen, you have to establish clear principle that you need to produce decision that guide you in what you do, in the things, you know, and especially, this is important for parents. Because the children are much more vulnerable to these things. You know, statistically, children that are raised in a church environment, by the time they go to university, they're still following the Lord. But by the time they finish university, almost much large percentage are gone. And if you like it or not, if you don't do something before, you are going to pay the consequences. So it doesn't work just for us. You know, I remember when it says, you know, the being no yoke together. You know, no yoke together is not just a question of getting married with the wrong, with person that is not saved. You know, yoke together is when you're really connected in such a way that you are caught up with the person. Okay. Well, I remember when I was a consultant and I was working for the government. I was doing pretty well. I thought that I'm going to go on my own. And I had another guy that was consulting with me, and he wanted to work together with me. Actually, happened not just once, but more than once. And all the time, the Lord said, be yoked not together with an unbeliever. Business is something that we are going to have to make lots of decisions that have to do with finances. And the way worldly people deal with finances is not the way you should deal with finances. And I, at least twice, after being a bit tempted about doing that, came to my senses and says, no way, I'm not going to make this mistake. And I'm glad that I didn't. Okay. Because I knew these people weren't necessarily bad, but they weren't where I was. And I would end up doing the same, what some of the same mistakes that they did. You know, I give you another example, my son. my son, when finally went to university, he was pretty solid in the Lord. And that was the time when he really decided he was going to be baptized and he was going to follow the Lord. And the Lord directed him in many different ways to make the right choices. And he was doing very well in the area of engineering and computers and so on. He was good in math, like me. And so he was very successful. Was working for a company, then I was actually was working with Bell before. Was developing some new things for them. And then decided to go to the States and got involved in another company there, but decided to go to MIT and study, get a business degree as well as another engineering level. Okay, and he was quite a business mind, if you want. But he's pretty strict about the way he sees things. When he finished MIT taking these two courses there, mastering courses, he got a job. There was, a super job. He was in, purchase and acquisition of businesses, big businesses. He was a consultant. I won't tell you the salary he was making by month, but it was astronomical. Okay. I mean astronomical. It was at the very beginning and it was already, and that was years ago. And he decided to quit because the morality of the people he was working with he did not like. Everybody who thought he was nuts, but he made that decision and he quit and he started his own business. And that was the only reason why. Okay. See, he got some values that actually stuck with him, evidently, and going to university didn't damage him, okay? And he made those decisions, he's still doing those decisions, and he's doing really well from that point of view, okay? He didn't need to compromise to be there, working in that kind of a business because he just was making a lot of money. I'm not going to go into more detail on that, but what I'm saying is this is possible. One can make these choices and one can keep these choices. And that one makes the difference in our relationship with the Lord. Praise the Lord. So a perverse heart, shall depart from me. I will know no wickedness. Hallelujah. See, that why God warned the children of Israel not to mix with the nation that were around them because they were corrupted. Psalm 1 tells the story. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor in the stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law, he meditates day and night. You see, that one makes the difference. That all produces the result. That's where the programming takes place. Hallelujah. In Galatians, a few more minutes. Galatians chapter 6, okay, talks about, a spiritual law that is very important. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Okay. There says, do not be deceived. Again, all the things come up is do not be deceived. All these warning that we get in the world is about be careful what you are exposed. Do not be this. That's the way we get deceived, by exposure, by acceptance. We have to recognize and protect ourselves. Okay? It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, so that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will to the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit reaps eternal life. See, he's talking about the life of God inside you, but you had to be sowing to that. You had to be guided by that. You had to be dwelling in that. Praise the Lord. And says, and the problem is, the environment we are is not conducive for us. See, that's why the children of Israel had always be falling back and forth all the time. Why? Because all the other nations around them were all messed up and they were influenced. They were mixing with them. Okay? But, you see, so this is the same effect with us. We are an environment which we really always go against current. And so going against current is difficult. It's hard. There is pressure all the time by the enemy to follow his ideas, his suggestion, his things. You know, you want to have some fun, you know, and you are exposed to things that are really immoral, and then you start accepting them. Okay, so what it says here? Okay, it says verse 9 of Galatians 6, it says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due seasons we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You see, we had to protect our heart. We had to defend ourselves from the being deceived. Be not deceived. All the time, this is what is repeated over and over in all these verses that I'm talking to you. Okay? And this is what makes the difference. That what, do not grow weary. Okay? You are going to have the victory if you stay, you know, focused, if you stay obedient. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 2, verse 10 says, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works good, for to the Jews first, and also to the God, to the Gentile, the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. God treats everybody the same. But you choose what you do. You choose what you are exposed to. You choose what God guides you to do. And, you know, we are immersed in the world. And so we had to decide how we are going to handle that. What we are going to do with that. Okay. And this is why we have the Helper. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, to talk to us, to guide us about the situation we are going to be in. Okay? He is going to guide us, you know, and really, the fact that he's there and speaks to us is not enough. What makes the difference is when we listen and obey. Obedience is what makes the difference, because that is what, you know, involved is a decision we make, and there's all the small decisions that we take in the right direction that reinforce each other and make us programmed the right way. Praise the Lord. Okay? You know, sometimes we just... For example, you know, the way in 1 Samuel says there, verse 15, no, chapter 15, verse 22, says, Samuel said to King Saul, you know, as the Lord such a delight in burnt offering and sacrifices, as in offering obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to eat than fat rams. You can go through all the motion of religiosity and things, and not actually do the things that the Holy Spirit is saying to you to do. And doesn't do any good, because those things have no effect. God doesn't care about those things. He cares about you being obedient. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandment. That's what, shows. See, the fact that you obey his commandment shows that you love him, because you already are in that position. See, otherwise, if you don't love him, you don't obey his commandment. And so that's the indication of are we connected with him or not? Are we able to do what he asks us to do or not? It's just simply connected by the fact that, by the programming that we already have inside ourselves. Praise the Lord. You see? It says, for rebellion, which is not obedience, is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is the iniquity of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. And this is, addressing to when, with Saul, when he fell from the position he was. Okay, and that applies for everybody. Okay, this applies to us. Jesus' instruction in the new covenant, are really not a long list of rules of things you have to do. Are a little voice inside yourself telling you what is right and what is wrong, that if you are not deceived, you are going to be able to hear, but if you are deceived, you are going to shut it up. And he's going to deal with item by item by item. And this is why now the rules and the principle is completely different. He's not going to, that voice is not going to tell you something that is contrary to what the Word of God says, number one. Okay. But he's going to be there dealing with the situation at the moment when you need to hear it. And he's going to guide you and teach you how to handle the situations. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. You don't do that just by studying. You do that by day, moment by moment, connecting with him. This is the new covenant relationship that God expects to us to do, and he wanted to all the time anyway. I haven't covered everything, but you see, I'm going to just finish with a quote from Jesus that says the things, John 14:21. This is the day of the Last Supper, and he's closing his ministry and telling them things. It says, he who has my commandment and keeps them is he who loves me. Okay. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. See, he's talking about really the first commandment here, which is really saying, you're going to fulfill it as we are really connected together, as the Holy Spirit is working with you, as you hear my voice and you obey my voice and you apply that, and that's going to guide you step by step in the things you have to do. Now, two chapter after, I said, I have many things to tell you, but you're not quite ready. You're going to get them as the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. Okay. And, I hope that we've running out of time, you got a point Entra was trying to make today. Okay. The point I was trying to make today is not that you can make a decision and think that that decision is going to stick just because, you know, you are religious or you make the decision and you think that your position is so strong. You're going to be influenced by the world around you, no matter what, because that's not normal. That's the way we operate, we function. But you can learn to respond to the Holy Spirit inside you to guide you in the process of breaking through the weaknesses in your life, to grow into the ability to make a decision at the time and to grow into that. To make that become more and more solid, separating you from the world and enabling you to walk the way God wants you to, in obedience to Him. And I'm not going to say anything different from the world anyway. But He's not going to overwhelm you with all this rule and regulation. He's going to bless you on the things you have to deal now, that you had to learn to make the right decision and to trust God about it. So, there was more about what the Holy Spirit talking to us, and, you know, can't really go to that at the moment, so I'm going to do it next Sunday. You know, but if that speaks to you, I want to encourage you, okay, to understand, learning to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you moment by moment. And that means having a relationship with Him moment by moment, not just being caught up into the physical things around you or the needs that you have or the other things, but being in communion with Him and the direction that He's providing for you, because you open yourself up to Him. He's going to be clearly show little steps. That doesn't mean fixing everything, but produces your training, produces your guidance, step by step by step, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. He's going to guide you into freedom and strength and victory. Praise the Lord. So let's close in prayer. You know, and if, you know, the minister to you, you know, make a little decision. It doesn't mean a gigantic decision, but just a little decision to actually try to listen to Him and try to apply to Him what He's telling you to do. And try to learn to listen. Be open. Go around with Him. I would say in your pocket. No, in your heart. Okay? And He was going to guide you. And you're going to see how certain things are going to change with time, especially areas in weakness that you have that you want to overcome. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love, your patience with us, your goodness, ministering to our needs, enabling us to overcome the deception of the flesh and to open our heart to the power of your Spirit. And the life and the peace that comes from you as we are obedient to your direction, to your guidance, to your teachings, to your truth. That truth that we receive may make us free more and more as we are obedient to your direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.